coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
Ready?
No, I'm not ready because I know what you're about to do.
What am I about to do?
Just do it.
Here come Leanne and Jack. Galaxy Defenders.
Yes. That was better than what I thought you were going to do.
What did you think I was going to do?
I just thought you were going to do the song. Then you themed it up
thing?
For here.
The whole thing?
I just thought you were going to do like as it was written, but you rewrote it. You did you dropped a remix on them some bitches.
The good guys dressed in black. Remember that. Just in case we're ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw you did not see. I was going to do a dramatic interpretation of it, like a...
Oh, my God, that would have been amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Welcome to Huntsville Home Video. Happy 4th of July, if you're dropping this the day it comes out. It was 1 year ago, basically today...
That we signed the Declaration of Independence?
Yes, 1 year ago.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Where we introduced you, Leanne Foster, sheltered crate baby... To Independence Day.
Oh, has it been a year since Independence
Day? Yeah, that's what we did a year ago.
I feel like that was literally just like a couple months ago.
Right?
That's literally, where has the time gone? What has happened? Did we get zapped?
Yes, we got neuralized.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what happened.
Yeah, a year ago, I introduced you to Independence Day.
That's insane. It's insane to me.
Right? Just think of all the amazing movies I've shown you in the last 365 days.
I don't remember them.
I know.
I can't begin to even think of them.
So sometimes I'll be going through my day and I'm like, oh, I wonder what Leanne, if she remembers Running Scared. That's a good movie.
I do. That was Paul Walker.
Okay, that was a good one. I was like, what about, going way back, what about One Crazy Summer? Does she remember anything from that?
Cusack? They had the boat?
Demi Moore? Yep.
Yeah.
Today's episode will just be quizzing Leanne about movies we've watched over the last year.
Rapid fire Huntsville Home Video trivia.
Oh, that would be so fun.
That actually would be a fun segment.
That might be for, I'm like, you know what? I don't really fucking want to watch anything this week. Let's have rapid fire Huntsville Home Video trivia.
You should come up with questions.
All right.
And then I'll see if I remember them.
They're going to come sporadically and at random times.
That's fine.
And it might just be a quote here and there.
Again, sporadic and at random, that's how we do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we do it around here.
Yeah.
When we're not talking about Will Smith movies on the 4th of July, baby.
Yeah,
That's about the most consistent thing that we've done.
Oh my God, it is.
Yeah. We are 2 for 2 Independence Day talking about Will Smith alien movies. So I guess that means next year we got to do Men in Black 2.
Mm. It didn't look like it got that great of a rating as I was flipping through finding Men in Black 1.
I'm going to tell you this. Mm. They very well could have stopped at this one.
Ah, but they never do they?
No.
Then we got a Hemsworth one. I don't even understand how that works.
Which I've never seen, so I cannot say whether or not it is good.
Okay.
But by all accounts, no.
I feel like that one came and it went away very quickly.
It did.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The best part about the third one...
Was that it ended?
Is that, they time travel and Josh Brolin plays a young Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, I love Josh Brolin. Yeah, that's right. He's in that one.
Yep. But we're getting so far ahead of ourselves,
right,
because that's what we do.
We're not going that far with the Men in Blacks.
Potentially, because we haven't found out what you liked or disliked or cared at all about this one. You liked Will Smith's last alien movie on the 4th of July. Leanne Foster, what do you think about Will Smith's alien movie on this 4th of July?
Is this where I answer?
Yes.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I think Men in Black is super cute. It's super fun. There's a lot of, well, there's a few memes now that I understand. I know where Edgar's from now. Uh-huh. Didn't know it was from this movie. Uh-huh. Didn't know about realized the pug was in there. I forgot about the pug. It's super fun. Obviously, a little dated when it came to the effects.
Quite.
The aliens are kind of interesting, but I like the way that they did it. It was super fun.
We also get what has become my favorite meme that came from this movie that blew up during the pandemic, and that was Tommy Lee Jones. A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky animals, and you know it.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I also got to see there's another one with the little alien that's controlling the head, the royalty alien. I have seen that alien before, and it's in that meme where it's like when they do the newborn pictures and that's what the baby looks like, and I had no idea it was from Men in Black. And so I literally paused. I was like, that's him!
Yep.
That's the meme!
That is the thing.
Uh-huh.
There it is.
Super cute.
And now, does the ride at Universal Studios make a little bit more sense to you?
Makes a lot more sense. I'm like, oh, there's aliens in the break room? Because I... I put that in here somewhere in my notes because I think I just thought that they eradicated all the aliens. I didn't realize getting into the movie that they work together. So I was like, oh, the aliens have taken over the headquarters. That's not the case.
So precious.
They're even funnier now.
Yeah, I like those guys.
They're great.
Guys are fun.
My favorite part of them is when they're leaving and they're like, sayonara, and they're yelling funny stuff. It's super cute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now I forget, because you've been to Universal, you've been to that ride, you also have been to Halloween Horror Nights.
Yes.
At Universal, did you do the VIP last year?
Yes.
And then because usually, I don't know if they did this during COVID, but usually if you did the VIP during Halloween Horror Nights, they had a cash bar that was set up on the lower level, the main level.
They did not have that.
They didn't have that?
No, or at least we were not. I remember going some back way to that ride, but we never went by a cash bar because I was actually looking forward to that. But it was one of the other restaurants where they had everything. Yeah, we didn't get to do that because I was looking forward to it because I remembered you mentioning it.
Because that's kind of a cool experience for two reasons. One, because you're on like the lower level and you kind of feel like you're in MIB headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone that's not a VIP is above you looking down, wondering how they get down there, but they can't because they're poor.
Of course, that's why that appeals to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking
I'm on a different level, bitch.
Trash.
You fucking trash.
Down here drinking. You're up there wishing you were down here drinking. Which you broke ass.
By the way, I would have never done the VIP tour if somebody else hadn't have paid for it. Because that was also out of my mama's also poor trash. So... I didn't really belong on that level.
I mean, don't get it twisted. I don't roll deep either, but
right.
I roll deep enough
when
to go.
Do,
yeah,
you go all out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, cool. I'm glad you dug it. Men in Black. Just a little history for you.
Okay.
Actually, based on a comic book. So technically, we have watched a comic book movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And the
comic book was similar in tone, but also very different because the Men in Black covered not just aliens, but also like paranormal stuff and werewolves and monsters and shit. And it was pretty cool.
Okay.
I met the creator of the comic in 97. He was at the Chicago Comic Convention that my dad took me to. And so when the movie came out, I'm like, oh, I dig this movie. And then during the credits, it even says, oh, based on a Marvel comic. And I'm like, what the fuck Marvel comic is this? Turns out it's in a roundabout way, a Marvel comic. So it was originally like this small independent publisher, which then got moved to another small independent publisher that Marvel then bought.
Okay.
So, like, through proxy, I guess, it became a Marvel comic.
Marvel by proxy.
But I found it. I tracked it down. I'm like, this is pretty cool. And then I found out that dude was going to be – he was one of the guests at the Comic-Con. And I thought, oh, man, the dude that wrote the Men in Black comic, this dude's line is going to be forever long. I was the only one in that line.
I feel like I've heard you tell that story for multiple people.
Yeah.
The people that you're excited about.
Yeah. He was
because I couldn't tell you the writer of anything.
No.
No.
No. I mean, well, you don't read.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
I've started reading Jurassic Park.
Who wrote that?
Michael Crichton, something like
Crichton.
That. Crichton. Crichton, whatever.
Whatever. He's dead. It doesn't matter.
Words.
Words.
Is he dead?
He died.
Damn. Well, good. He didn't get to see the abomination that is shit turned
Yes,
into.
Let your hate flow through you.
Fuck you, Lucas! Anyway.
But yeah, like I was, cause there was a guest map and everyone is kind of laid out, you know, like where they're going to be. And I'm trying to find them. And I look around the corner. I'm like, well, it can't be here. There's no line. And there, the dude's name was like Lowell Cunningham. And he was just sitting there signing Men in Black trading cards all by his lonesome.
Oh, sweet baby.
Yeah. And I was like, hey man, I read the comics and I had one of them and he was like genuinely surprised that I had one.
Aww.
And I was like, yeah, dude, like I really liked the, you know, the other worldly aspects of it. Are we going to get more of that in the, if we get sequels or anything? And he's just like,
look at my line, kid.
He's
no.
He's like, I don't know. I got paid. I'm like, hell yeah. That's the correct answer.
That's perfect.
That's
so precious. You both were there for each other.
Right?
Right? You know, he went home and said, I had one dude.
Yay.
Who was so nice.
I'm sure he had more than that, but yes, it was cool to meet him, and they've gone on to make several other Men in Black movies. Like we talked about, there was a Men in Black animated series. Which, yeah.
Was it good?
No. I mean, that reaction was, yeah.
Okay.
Literally, this franchise could have started and stopped here.
Right.
And I'd have been okay with it. Men in Black 2, not great.
Is Tommy Lee Jones in that one?
He is in that one.
Okay.
And
how do they do that?
They re-neuralize him.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
That is bullshit. That's such a simple douche way to say, we wanted more money.
Also, this, so when I go to a movie, very rarely do I go, huh, that movie felt like it was like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that for Men in Black 2 because the movie is not even an hour and a half long.
Wow, it's like a short movie.
It is. It's like an hour and 15 minutes, and they spend most of that time like re-neuralizing Tommy Lee Jones because there's some evil alien queen that comes to Earth and she's got to destroy shit. And they're like, oh, we need Kay for this. And then they go find him working at the post office and they have to convince him that, hey, you were this Men in Black.
Mm.
And he's like, no, sir, I work at the post office. Like very dry, deadpan Tommy Lee Jones, like only Tommy Lee Jones can do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So don't recommend the second one.
I don't like it.
Like I said, third one's all right because of the Josh Brolin factor, and I have yet to see the Hemsworth one. I probably won't waste my time.
Fuck them.
But if they just made an ongoing series and they brought in more of that paranormal shit, I think I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I would like the paranormal aspect of it. So they had paranormal and monsters and all that shit?
Yeah.
Mm.
Even though historically you have said, fuck a werewolf.
I liked the werewolves in that one movie.
Which was?
Dogs. Soldiers.
Very good.
I almost said Dog Star, and I was like, wait a minute. That's
very good. That's Keanu Reeves' band.
That's Keanu Reeves' band, isn't it?
Yeah. I was scrolling through old podcasts. I'm like, oh, Dog Soldiers. I got to work that into conversation. And there it was.
Perfect. There it was.
And you remembered. So you have passed your first quiz.
Yes.
Congratulations.
One for one, baby.
Hope I give you the shits, you wimp. So tell me a little bit about your first experience with Men in Black. Were you hooked right from the start? Did it take a while to warm up? What was the sitch?
I was hooked because of Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah?
Gonna be honest. I love Tommy Lee Jones. Don't ask me what movies I've seen him in. I feel like that one would be a long list because of my parents. My dad likes Tommy Lee Jones, right?
Well, you like No Country for Old Men, which surprises me.
Why does that surprise you?
I mean, it doesn't surprise.
It
doesn't.
I can like art, you know.
I was going more for the fact that you've seen so few movies.
Okay, gotcha.
You put that on yourself.
I do.
I hold you on a higher regard than you hold yourself.
Thank you. Well, that's usually the common story.
Yeah.
But yes, I do love that. Do love that movie. No, I was hooked from the beginning, and I was excited to see Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith together because I feel like especially at that time, that would be a great combination of new school and old school. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it worked really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think D'Onofrio, though, is my favorite.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was in it.
Okay.
I had no idea. And so when we meet him, and I love his look of, or his movements were perfect. Like, he was so perfect as an alien trying to inhabit a human body.
Right?
Like, that was a perfect performance in my book.
I think Vincent D'Onofrio is super underappreciated.
He's very underappreciated.
Very slept on. Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like I've seen him, well, this podcast has also given me a new level of love for him because we've seen a few things of his. And I feel like he can do anything. Like any genre.
The dude really can. I mean, yeah. He can play, he was most recently the Kingpin in the MCU, you know, mm-hmm. Like he got brought over there.
I didn't finish that, but I had started Daredevil. And he's scary.
Yeah.
Like when he grabs your attention and it's like, oh, I better not fuck around and find out. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to around him.
Full Metal Jacket, you ever see that?
Yep.
Yeah, he was fucking...
I am in a world of shit.
like, yeah, super good in that. Like, he was on one of the many Law and Orders for a while. He was good in that. You ever see The Cell?
Yeah, that's what we got in a conversation about, because I've seen that movie, surprisingly, and that movie fucked me up.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Remember?
That's right, yeah.
And I didn't know... That was D'Onofrio.
And now you have him playing...
Oh, that movie's fucked up, dude.
Playing a fucking cockroach in an Egger suit.
How do you think that went with me? After walking home from that concert the other week?
Which was fun. We got to talk about that for a second.
We got to talk about that.
In a wide open outside area, in a urban area, like a metropolitan area.
Yeah.
You saw a single cockroach.
You ain't gonna do it like that. You're not gonna, no.
Okay, I'm sorry. You saw two cockroaches.
There were more than two.
Dos cockroach.
Muy would be the word to use. There were multiple roaches running around right outside this restaurant.
I saw two.
That's, well, because you weren't looking, motherfucker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They were everywhere. They were on benches, they were on the concrete, they were scurrying about. Scary as fuck.
Watching this movie, I thought, you ain't gonna like that.
It's a rough one.
Yeah.
It's a rough one, especially at the end, at the big reveal. I'm just like, oh no. And then the things that come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of roaches, okay? You saw me run away from what you said was a single roach.
I recanted my statement, copped two. Two roaches.
There were more than two.
Negative.
I saw them because I was looking for them because they scare the shit out of me. I saw them with my own two eyes. I saw them shits.
So what did you think he was going to be when... you know, like when he was walking around the whole movie, just like in his Egger suit.
I thought he was like because there's parts in the movie where he like leaves bugs as he touches things, like they come out of his sleeves. Mm-hmm. So I thought he was going to be all bugs.
Oh, just
like,
like a million cockroaches.
Like a combination of like a hive thing of cockroaches.
Like the insect
like
equivalent.
Yeah.
The insect equivalent of when like three small kids get on each other's shoulder,
yeah, that's exactly
put on
what
a trench coat to
be.
Get into a dirty movie.
Yeah.
All right.
You remember like in Creepshow when all the bugs get in the body?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was just like all the bugs were in the body. I just thought it was a bunch of them. And he was just like... He was like, what made him was all these other bugs together.
Yeah, that could have been funny, too.
So I didn't know that he was going to be one big bug. And then I was like, how is he that big of a bug? And he was in a normal guy's skin. And then I went, now you're asking too many stupid questions because you can't find the logic in that.
No. You really can't.
No. So I didn't realize, but I didn't realize at the end he was going to be some big ass motherfucking bug. And that was one big ass gross motherfucking bug.
We did. We got that reveal. We got some peak Will Smith trash talk.
We did get some peak Will Smith trash talk. I and when he starts to stomp on those bugs and shit, it was really good.
That was probably your favorite part of the movie. You're like, yeah, go Will Smith. I've never related to anyone more.
I don't know. I cringed a lot. I don't even like to. Have I told? Oh, I didn't even tell you this.
Uh-oh.
This is a bug story. There's a cricket in my apartment.
Like currently?
There's currently a cricket in my apartment. It's been in my apartment for 2 nights. And the motherfucker won't stop click-clacking with his motherfucking legs.
Well, that's what crickets
do. That's what they do. First, he was in the HVAC closet. Now, he's somewhere in the kitchen. And I think he's behind the refrigerator, but I can't move the refrigerator because I don't want him to jump at me. So all night, I just hear this, or however crickets sound. I don't even know how they sound.
How did that go?
And he's tormenting me. So now I'm going to go home today and I got to figure, A, I'm just hoping he'll die. B, what if he's gotten even closer to my bedroom? Now I got a problem.
What if he's laying eggs?
Oh, shit. I'm going to have a colony of fucking...
Do your cricket sound again. That sounds like Cricket Metallica. Do it again. Darkness in prison. What I see. Oh shit! Now he's gonna get a whole crew together, and they're just gonna do the Master of Puppets album. Then would you be okay with it?
Master of Crickets are pulling the strings.
Are you as terrified of crickets as you are cockroaches?
No.
Okay.
But I don't like them anyway.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't like anything that can jump.
That's too funny.
So anyways, I've been being held hostage by a cricket in my home.
You should never see the movie Joe's Apartment.
What's Joe's Apartment?
Joe's Apartment. So there was an MTV, it was a short on MTV years and years ago. It was a dude that lived in an apartment with like talking cockroaches, and they turned it into a fucking movie. And it was like a comedy with what the fuck's his name? Jerry O'Connell? Yeah.
No.
Oh man, I should have kept my mouth shut. Just like, let's watch Joe's Apartment one of these days. Subjected you
now
to
I'll
that.
Be on the lookout. I don't want any of that.
I wouldn't. I went to that movie with this girl I worked with one time years and years ago when it first came out. Like we were all I think just barely No, we were still in high school. And I was like, hey, a bunch of us are going to Joe's Apartment. You wanna go check it out? And she's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, it's a movie about a dude that lives in an apartment with talking cockroaches. She's like, God, you're fucking weird. Whatever, let's go. And so we go to the movie.
You're weird, whatever.
Yeah, right? So we go to the movie. The movie starts, and, you know, like 10 minutes in, there's the reveal of, like, the talking cockroaches. This girl, in the middle of the fucking theater, standing, keep in mind, it wasn't a packed theater because it wasn't a...
I wouldn't assume it would be.
Wasn't a blockbuster like we're talking about today. Stands up in front of God and everyone. She's like, God damn it, Jack, this is really a movie about talking cockroaches in a dude's apartment?
She thought you were weird because you just came up with that synopsis.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my God. That's so hilarious.
Isn't it, though?
Shit.
The Men in Black.
Did she leave?
No, she sat through the whole thing like a champ.
Oh, my God.
Good for her.
I'd have left. I'd have taken the car.
In fact, I want to say that's the same year that Men in Black came out. Let me check my stats.
Y'all, there are so many bugs in this movie. There just becomes a plethora of bugs. Towards the end.
Joe's Apartment was 96, I believe.
What year was this?
I think it was 97.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it definitely looked of late 90s.
Sure. Even like going back to it, I was like, ooh, yeah, this is definite 90s. I mean,
but
like,
it didn't hurt. I mean, because again, it's like, you know what? I knew of what time frame it was close to. So it's like, it doesn't bother me that it's not up to par.
And there are certain movies where even though the effects were what they were at the time, they still hold up better mm-hmm. than some others.
Yeah. Absolutely true.
I mean, so there's that.
There's also that. They also have some pretty amazing weapons in this movie that I was very excited about.
They all look like dildos.
Maybe.
Like everything, like the neuralizer looks like a dildo.
I did not take it there. Mm. I did not think, or maybe that's why I liked them. I thought they looked like dicks. Subliminally, I was like, ah, wieners on screen.
Yeah.
No, I never thought they looked like dicks.
That was just me.
Might be. Are you thinking about dick?
Sure. Thinking about room 40.
Room 40. What's room 40?
Room 40's nuts in your mouth.
I hate you so much. I've never, you know, there's some shit that you say and shit that you do where I'm like, God damn, I hate this motherfucker and I'm so glad he's in my life. Like, that's the only way to describe it.
I mean, you're not the first person that's described me as such.
I don't think I would be. I feel like that's just you.
Yeah.
I feel like if you get it, you get it.
That old girl that got pissed off about the Roach movie that I didn't lie to her about. I haven't talked to her in like 30 years. I don't know where the fuck she's at.
She didn't get it.
She didn't get it.
She didn't fucking get it.
Didn't appreciate.
No. I don't know how I'd feel, though, if you took me to a Roach movie, though. We'd have a definite problem. We'd have a lull.
That's fair.
It is very fair.
Yes, the weaponry in Men in Black, the noisy cricket.
I laughed so hard at that.
Did you?
Because it went full. Well, also because I have a noisy cricket in my house. I was not expecting. Now, I figured since it was a little gun, I figured, oh, okay, it's obviously going to have a big blast to it. But the way the kickback. And how much he just dramatically flings back. I probably laughed so hard at that because it just came. It was extra. It was super extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I loved the fucking noisy cricket.
I had the, like, the toy version of that.
Oh.
They made those in 97.
That one didn't look like a dick.
No.
No.
I'm saying a lot of them did. They just had that.
And now I gotta go back and look at the fucking. Shit. Now I gotta Google. Do they really look like wieners?
I think
you just had wiener on the brain.
Look, sure. Let's fucking go.
Men in Black dick guns.
Your Google searches are fucked.
It's why I go incognitus.
Yeah, that'll help.
Okay, that looks like a wiener at the end of a pistol.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
I see that. Mm-hmm. That one's quite an interesting one. Oh. Mm. Oh, shit. I never even... Yep. That looks like a dick. That one looks very obtrusive. Intrusive. Okay. All right. Well. All right.
Moving on
from the dick guns.
Do you remember the movie that had a Men in Black porn parody that we have reviewed on this podcast?
No. Mm. Was it the sales one? It wasn't, was it?
The goods?
The goods?
No, it wasn't the goods.
Oh,
you're talking about the sales one? You're not talking about Glengarry Glen Ross,
are you? No, not that one. Mm, no, I don't remember.
It was Dirty Work with Norm MacDonald when they're in the theater and they're sabotaging the screening.
Oh.
And they're playing Men in Black who like to have sex with each other. Oh, man, this alien looks just like a hot guy. Yeah, we should have sex with it.
Yeah, I forgot that one.
Mm.
Damn it.
Mm.
Failed. I'm working at a 50%.
Mm. Make a note here. Failing grade.
It's not the first one I've had.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
What other bits, what else did you like about Men in Black?
Oh, I feel like Rip Torn for some reason. I feel like he's an odd dude. Is he an odd dude? Was he an odd dude in real life? There's something about, I don't know why, but every time I see him, I'm like, dude from Dodgeball. He's an odd
dude. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked seeing him.
I think late model Rip Torn was maybe like that, because like, I remember a lot of his roles later in life were always kind of quirky. Like he played Don Geis in 30 Rock. He was like the CEO of NBC or whatever.
Isn't that a show I'm supposed to watch?
Yes.
Okay.
It's so good. Oh my God. It's so good that even like current fucked out of his gourd Alec Baldwin doesn't change anything. He's still great in this show. Doesn't change my opinion, Adam, one bit.
Oh, Alec. dick.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
But yeah, he's super super weird and quirky in that. Like you said, Dodgeball. He's like that. You know, mm-hmm. Zed as Men in Black. I love everyone. Like Kay and Zed. Their demeanor. When they, you know, like the world's gonna end, and Will Smith's freaking out, and he's like, "Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, these things happen. Like, this mm-hmm. is what we do. We prevent this, and there's always some sort of cataclysmic thing or whatever." And they're just so not fazed by it at all.
Such good old school men shit.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen everything.
Yep.
It's like you can have a dead, burning body in front of my father, and he's like, "I've seen it before."
Yeah.
Nobody panic.
This dude shit.
Don't embarrass me. Yep. Don't panic.
just do the fucking job, kid.
Just do the fucking job.
Do the fucking job. Yeah.
I enjoyed getting to see Frank the Pug.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was where I really laughed, too. Just the thought of people walking by and Tommy Lee Jones is just shaking a dog looking for answers. I thought that was really funny.
And Will Smith trying to cover. He's just like, oh, he's working on his ventriloquist act.
Right. Super cute. Super cute. How about the ending? Can we talk about the ending?
Let's talk about that ending.
The ending fucked me up a little bit.
Yeah?
It did fuck me up a little bit. Because as if I didn't need a crisis, at the end, the camera like zooms out, right? And our galaxy is just a marble amongst many
mm-hmm.
that belong to an alien.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy fucking shit. What if we are just a marble to an alien?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, right?
Probably accurate.
Yeah. I remember there was an episode, I think it was Twilight Zone, where they kind of went through this normal day, and then at the end of it, this little girl gets called to like lunch or supper or something, and the world is just in her little toy box. She like shuts the toy box. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
That was also basically the ending of Saint Elsewhere.
I don't know what that is.
It was a hospital show, and it ran for a number of seasons, and then it ended. And the way that it ended was the camera started to pull back, mm-hmm. and you see the hospital, and it's just a hospital in a snow globe. And the snow globe is being held by, like, an autistic child, giving you the opinion that these last seven seasons or whatever were just nothing but the imagination of an autistic child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you look up the series finales that pissed a lot of people off, that's usually the top of the list.
I feel like that would piss me off.
Yeah.
Again, it's different, and I like it, but it's like none of this mattered.
Yeah. Ultimately,
I bet it was still better than Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Fucking.
Anything's better than that ending.
Oof.
Right?
Big oof.
Are you still hurting from that? I feel like I still hurt from it.
No, because I was never a super fan to begin with. I had friends that were more into that show than I was, and I was into it because they were into it, and I was like, yeah, let's just all get together, watch Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. But then by the end, I was like, man, they're really just fucking Control-Alt-Deleting this one, aren't they? Fuck it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm. What about the character played by Linda Fiorentino, the morgue assistant? Or the morgue director.
If there was a voice that I could have, it would be hers.
Yeah?
Right? If I could be that cool and that gorgeous and sound that way, yes.
She is a very physically attractive woman, but yes. Then you give her that voice and it gets ratcheted up a little bit.
Absolutely. I was like, I girl crush on this lady.
Yeah?
I was like, fuck, man. I wish I was that. Like, I'm just, like, screeching down a chalkboard, like, just fingernails down a chalkboard compared to that shit. And I'm like, God, why couldn't I have had that?
And that's her tone in everything. Like, that doesn't really change. Because, like, okay. You remember Dogma, right? Like, she was in Dogma. And
oh, that's right. She was in Dogma.
And she, like, that's her tone. Right. She's very, like, even keel, just right. Has that kind of mm-hmm. smoky, wispy voice that just does it for me.
Yeah, never rattled. It's
no.
Not rattled at all.
Even that scene where like Egger is under the morgue table and mm-hmm. Jay comes back in and she's like trying to, he's like, oh, I have something I need to show you. She's like,
he was like, damn, you don't have to move that fast.
Damn, girl.
And she's like pointing down. Yeah. So he thinks she's pointing at something on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's thinking old Big Willie style, thinking he's going to get to put the fiddle in the middle. He's got like a cockroach in an Egger suit under that table.
The what? What did you say?
Put the fiddle in the middle.
The fiddle in the middle?
Yeah.
I've never heard that in my 31 years of being on this planet. I've never heard that before.
Another Jack Spadeism you can add to the collection.
It's fantastic. Shit, man. Yeah, that was super funny. Also, a fucking cat. I'm still, you know what I thought of when I saw this? The cat is Orion, and yep. It's wearing the galaxy because the message is, you know,
the galaxy is on Orion's belt,
right? And so that's how we save, and it was a cat. And do you know what I thought of when I saw the cat? I went, damn it, a fucking cat, and I immediately thought of Nick Fury. And I was like, wow, that's an interesting feeling, because I'm far removed from that movie. I'm far removed from Captain Marvel. But I was like, fuck a cat. Oh, they don't fuck it up like they did damn Nick Fury.
I could take Captain Marvel off this questionnaire list then, because you remember that. Where's Nick Fury from?
Huntsville, Alabama, baby!
Stand up!
Yeah!
Yeah, I did, like, that's a good callback.
I did. It's so funny, because I literally thought, I was like, wow, I went back to somewhere I didn't know I was going to go, but I was like, a fucking cat.
Yeah.
I was like, there's some anger that didn't go really addressed.
And they fucked Nick Fury up in that movie.
They really did.
God damn
it. So did that cat, which pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was still pissed off. That wound is still fresh as well, because I was like, the damn cat.
Fucking cat. when you were watching the film when it was going along, when you know, because you sometimes notice these little things when they're like, oh, the galaxy is on Orion's belt. Did you pick that up right away?
Well, not right away, but we kept seeing the cat. I was like, the cat has something to do with this. The cat is an alien. Or I thought maybe the cat was the royalty guy. And then I don't think I figured it out fast enough. I feel like Will got to it faster than I did.
Like, my problem with it was they had so many shots in this movie before the reveal that said Orion. Like,
There was a shot of the cat's name tag on
his little thing beforehand. And when there's a spot where they're in the jewelry store and there's all these collars,
yeah,
and they all say Orion on them. I was like, oh, that's... Yeah, so it's
I guess I didn't read it. See, that's the shitty part of taking notes while you're watching a movie. Sometimes you miss that shit. But I knew we had the cat in there a lot, and I was like, okay, well, the cat's got something to do with this, obviously, but I didn't read the Orion part until we kind of got to it.
What if the cat turned into a cockroach? What would you do then?
I'd be really angry.
They eat cockroaches. They don't.
Also, speaking of the royalty guy, the majesty from the Archillians?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Well, you see him earlier, but I was like, oh, shit, it's the Moonlight Man.
It is, yeah.
From Gerald's Game. I was like, I've never seen that guy before, except for Gerald's Game.
He was in Dr. Sleep, too.
He was in Dr. Sleep. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I forgot that one. Write that down. that wasn't part of the podcast, so you don't have to write that one
down.
No,
that's
a freebie.
Yeah, that's a freebie. That's bonus trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked seeing him. God bless him. Jacked up face.
Yep.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a little startling.
I mean, your roles are very typecast at that point.
Very limited. He can either do Men in Black or he can do a Rob Zombie film. That's it.
I wonder if he's going to be in The Munsters. Rob Zombie's doing The Munsters reboot.
I don't know. Is he alive?
I mean,
Didn't that guy die?
Maybe.
Did Moonlight
I don't
guy
know.
Die? Maybe not.
I mean, he was alive as of like a couple of years ago.
Right, Gerald Game was in 2017.
And then Dr. Sleep was, what, 2019?
Oh, well, then I am wrong.
I mean, people can definitely die in those.
We've had enough time for him to die.
Yeah. I wonder if he's just sitting around his favorite rocking chair right now, just going back and forth, just very much alive. Two
I'm
chuckleheads talking about his death on the 4th of July. It's fucked up.
Anyway.
Talk about this a little bit. So in 97, you would have been seven.
Yes.
Now, were you not a kid that went to a lot of movies in the theater?
I don't think we went to many. It was like a big treat if we went. Like, randomly, my mom would take me and my two friends down the street, and we would go to a movie. But it was a very rare occasion.
Okay. Was there a theater in the town you lived in, or did
you
have to? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
We had a theater and a mall. Did I ever go? Not many.
No?
No, these were big treats, man.
Man.
Man, I'm home of a single mom. We didn't have shit.
This to me would have like just struck me as like the perfect awesome movie for a 7 year old. Like a 7 year old would have loved this.
Yeah, yeah. But no, we didn't go see it. I mean, I've never seen this movie far as I remember. Well, but we know how my memory is, so maybe I saw it when it came out, but I don't think I did.
That wouldn't have
been
funny.
I remember going to the Jurassic Park movies. Whenever those came out, that was a big deal. And like maybe some Disney movies or whatever, but that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned the other week, you know, this we're going to talk about a lot of big summer Hollywood blockbusters.
Yeah.
They were so good back in the 90s. And mm-hmm. like so many vivid memories. Like going to this one, it was so 97. That was the summer, or the, I guess technically the spring, I graduated high school. So
right.
I was just out of high school. I had a car, mm-hmm. had friends. We'd like go out and do shit. And every Friday during the summer, we probably had like 15 people that went to Men in Black. And it wasn't the days where you could just get tickets online.
No.
Use an app. No, you had to get there early. You had to stand in line. Then you had to get in line again to get your seat. Your movie like this, you're guaranteed to not be sitting together.
Oh, exactly. That's the thing. That's a convenience that we have that we didn't have back in the day. Before, you stood in line, you bought your tickets, and you didn't buy which seats you sat at. You just bought a ticket.
Uh-huh.
And then you got what you got. You sat where you could sit.
We didn't.
I thought about that as I reclined my recliner a couple of days ago, and I went, this shit used to not be how it was back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Seats, mm-hmm. yeah, seats were much worse back then.
Right. You'd have to, you're holding your Coke and your popcorn, and you're trying to get the seat down so that you could sit in the seat, because, you know, they come up at the bottom.
Yep.
Yeah, kids. Fucking. You don't know shit. You don't know shit about shit.
But the movies were better.
True.
Yeah.
I think so. Well, I don't know. I didn't see them.
We also, so in our town, we had three movie theaters.
Okay.
And if they would all, most times, they would all be showing the big Hollywood blockbusters, right? So like Men in Black was playing at three different theaters. And you're like, all right, well, this theater is the best theater. It's got the best screen, the best sound. This one, you know, not as much. And this theater is just like broke as fucking ghetto as shit.
Right.
So it's like, if you had your choice, you would be like A, B, C, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're like, okay, like Men in Black, this looks pretty fucking cool. Even though there was a lot of talk about, really, fucking Independence Day dude is doing another alien movie? His career's going to go far. Clearly, we were wrong.
Yeah.
Who
knew it would have been a slap that broke him down?
Right?
Yeah.
No, there was legitimately a period where Will Smith was undefeated at the fucking box office.
Right.
Like, every movie of his that came out was a fucking banger.
Yeah.
With the exception of, like, Wild Wild West.
Was that the end of that run, or did he recover after that?
He recovered after
that,
because he still put out, like, some quality fucking action flicks. Like, he was, you know, he had, like, the Bad Boys movies. He had Enemy of the State. Like really at that time, Wild Wild West was the only blemish on his fucking career, but at least he got a banger song out of that one.
You know, I have never seen all of Wild Wild West.
You don't need to.
I don't think I do. No. I kind of feel like I feel like I need to pay my dues though and watch it. You know what I mean?
I think you're much better suited watching like the cockroaches in this movie again.
I'll cringe less.
You will cringe less.
Right.
That was a piece of shit movie. Mm. But no, so what I was going to say was like, you know, we try to be like, okay, well, if we drove by the theater earlier in the day, we could judge like if there was a line or not, you know, because again, people would have to line up for these things.
Yeah.
You know, no guarantee that you're going to get tickets.
I remember that when I was older and a teenager.
And we also had no cell phones at that time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to camp out at this theater. You go camp out at the other theater. There's payphones. Like, you can you can call payphones, or we can, like, relay messages somehow. At the time, we all worked, or a lot of us worked at McDonald's that was right by the theater. So it's like, just call McDonald's and tell who's ever working to come over and find you and be like, no, Jack said to go to the safari over in Moorhead.
Love that this is like a multi-level operation. Like, yeah. Like you're spying, or like you're about to infiltrate a government.
Oh, fucking dude.
That's why that our generation, well, you're more than me, but I feel like that's why our brains work the way they do. Like we had to figure some shit out.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And again, back then, you know, there were not, and I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but they don't have, you know, the 6 o'clock shows on a Thursday night, the 7 o'clock shows. Mm-hmm. It was one show at 12:01 a.m.
Right.
If you wanted to get into that big, you know, midnight screening. And that was it. That was it for the night, mm-hmm. you know. And then, like, slowly but surely, they've started, like, moving them back. So now it's not even that big of a thing.
No.
The last movie that I was even remotely worried about getting into was Avengers Endgame. Because, right. And I had to do that old school because the app went down.
I remember that.
Physically go to the theater, and there were people in line, and there were, like, waiting to get in, and they were telling, like, oh, man, it's just like back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I didn't want to talk to any of these people. I'm like, oh, man, I like the new way better because I don't like people.
Is that when you schooled some dude on the comics?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because fuck that dude.
Yeah, he's trying to, like, run game on some chick standing in line, and I'm like.
Also, wait a minute. I love that he's trying to run game to a chick talking about comics.
Yeah.
The world has changed.
Right? Yeah.
The world be different.
You know, yeah, back in 97, you know, chicks freaking out because I'm bringing them to Roach movies. And now chicks are talking about, you know, the mighty Thor.
That dude knew his stuff about Thor. Thor's hammer.
Fucking ain't right.
Handsome motherfucker.
Still my favorite motherfucker I was right moment came from that movie. Because standing in that line, I was like, man, all I want to see in that movie is Captain America wield Mjolnir. Bro, Mjolnir's destroyed. Bro, this is going to be a time travel movie. And I saw that fucker in the theater. He's like, wasn't that the greatest thing ever? I'm like, yeah, when fucking Cap wielded Mjolnir? Fuck yeah, it was. Just like I said it was going to happen 3 weeks ago, you fucking mutt. Where's your bitch now? Oh, yeah, she's in room 40. With room for these nuts in her mouth.
I can't. That's my favorite callback. Room 40. Room for these nuts. Son of a bitch.
So in regards to, you know, like I said, the big summer blockbusters, Men in Black, obviously a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it a couple times in theaters.
Was a multiple viewing movie.
It was like usually the Hollywood blockbusters were because you didn't have DVD yet.
Right.
I mean, they'd obviously come out on home video. Whether or not it, and the turnaround wasn't as quick as it is now. Because now if a movie hits theaters, it's there for like 45 days, and then now it's on streaming, or if it bombs in theaters, they try to get it out to even quicker than that.
Yeah, before you had to wait. You mm-hmm. had to wait a while.
Yeah.
And just see when the commercial would show up where you could go buy it.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now also growing up in Fargo, North Dakota, there's not a lot of shit to do. So it's like, right. Hey, we're all 17 and 18, and there ain't fuck all going on, and we can't find anyone to buy us booze. You want to go see Men in Black? I am Men in Black.
Man, what crazy times.
I know, right?
That place is a wasteland. Y'all shouldn't have inhabited it.
It sure is.
You shouldn't have.
But that was and it might also be because I just fucking love movies.
Mm-hmm.
But that to me is my idea of a good time, especially in the summer.
Right.
You know, if it's hot as shit, get some friends together, go see a movie that everyone likes. And usually they would always save the biggest movies for the summer. That's when your Men in Blacks would come out, your Independence Days would come out. And July 4th weekend, that was always like some big shit's going to come out right now.
Is there anything big for this weekend or this past weekend by the time you're listening?
I no. Like
Elvis came out the weekend before.
Yep. I honestly don't know what's coming out this weekend.
I feel like that shit's changed, too.
Honestly, I think Top Gun is going to keep making that money.
Right. That's, yeah, they don't need anything else after Tom Cruise's display.
Right?
Yeah.
A couple of Mission Impossible movies came out in the summer.
Who?
Him, yeah.
Who?
Yep.
Sorry.
In fact, and we'll get to this later. But the director of one of those Mission Impossible movies is going to be coming up next week.
Oh.
There's a little teaser. Stick around for the end of the episode.
I don't know why I'm saying, oh, because it's totally lost on me.
You're saying, it's
great. I don't
even
know how to gauge it. I don't even know how to judge it.
I don't even remember the movies we fucking listened to or talked about on this podcast, Jack. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
No. You know what I do remember?
Do tell.
Goldfinger!
How could you forget that shit?
I remember
shit.
That one.
Oh, you remember the greatest movie we ever reviewed, The Hurricane Heist?
I remember that one.
Do you remember that
one? I do remember that one.
Do you think in another 60, 70 episodes, you think you'll remember Men in Black?
Yes.
Yeah?
I think I will have watched it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Do you think from here you would go watch the other movies?
Well, they're all free right now, so maybe I might try it. Maybe.
Okay.
But I'm not expecting to like them now.
So, well, I will say that Men in Black 2, it isn't horrible. It's just unnecessary. Like,
right.
They rushed it. Because that's another thing that Hollywood does. It's like, oh, this movie hit. We need a sequel now.
You don't get time to hash out how we really could have brought Tommy Lee back on.
Right.
Right.
And I was just like, okay, well, great. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And then in the third one, it's like they went through all the trouble in the second one to bring him back. And now he's just like young Tommy Lee as played by Josh Brolin. I don't fucking know. But still, they're not abominable pieces of shit.
Right.
Still decent.
I'm sure Hurricane Heist was worse.
Actually, I liked Hurricane Heist more than Men in Black 2.
That doesn't surprise me.
Fucking trash.
It doesn't surprise me at all, Jack Spade.
Would you, so when you go back to Universal eventually, are you looking forward to the ride?
That was one thing I wrote down. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to appreciate the ride so much better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm going to be shooting aliens better. I'm going to look to make sure my gun doesn't look like a wiener. I'm going to enjoy the aliens in the break room more. And look at all the weapons and shit. Yes.
I like the aesthetic of the Men in Black headquarters.
It's really good.
Yeah. It's supposed to be all like new wave futuristic and shit, but a lot of like the decor, a lot of the furniture has that kind of 50s vibe to it.
Yes. Like, that old streamlined look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is what the future is going to look like, what we thought it would look like in the 50s.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what it looks like. Also, I loved the, I don't think I mentioned this before, but I didn't know that they were going to, that they knew the aliens were on Earth and they were just going to let it be, right? I thought we were attacking all aliens that are on Earth. So then when they open that up, the headquarters, and you see all the aliens working and pushing the buttons that tickled me because I had no idea that was going to happen. I just loved the look of it, of all those little worker aliens just sitting at the computer. It was great.
The one scene where they're at the monitor and they're showing all the different famous people that are aliens.
Yes. There was Rocky. There was one of them Spielberg. I think Spielberg was
Spielberg
up at the top.
Yeah, Spielberg was in there.
I thought I saw Al Roker. I see Al Roker? One kind of looked like Steve Jobs, maybe. I don't know.
I will say in Men in Black 2, they expand on that gimmick a lot, and it is really funny.
I like at the end when, so at the end, Tommy Lee gets neuralized.
Yep.
Is what they call it? Because he wants to go back to his wife or his girlfriend or whatever. So Will Smith partners up with the coroner, with the lady at the morgue,
mm-hmm.
right? And I love that they're going to investigate something and they're like, Dennis Rodman,
yep.
wasn't it? He's from that planet. We'll talk to him. And I was like, of course he's an alien.
No, it's a horrible disguise.
we've been new. And you know what they say?
Yeah.
We've been new. He was an alien.
Also, I love that, you know, we said we were done talking about Elvis, but now, goddamn, we're still going to talk about Elvis.
Of course, Tommy Lee Jones in this movie would play, what was that, an 8-track? Fucking 8-track of Elvis's Promised Land while driving upside down. That scene was so good.
And then Will Smith's like, you know Elvis is dead, right? No, Elvis is not dead. He just went home.
I was like, man, we're still in Elvis month.
Hell yeah.
I was like, Elvis said hello from beyond the grave.
Uh-huh.
But him in that car just going along with, live my home in North Virginia, California.
Yeah.
Oh, my mind. I was like, fuck yeah, Tommy. I was like, that's how Tommy Lee is in real life, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want from that.
My favorite, and I rewound it 6 times when it happened, because, and it's little, it's subtle, but god damn it, do I love it when Jay and Kay are going to Edgar's wife's place, because the way that they investigate is they look at the tabloids,
which is brilliant. That's so simple and it's so brilliant.
Yep. So they go to talk to her, and she's just like, are you gonna make fun of me again? Are you here to just crack jokes? He's like, no, ma'am. The FBI doesn't have any sense of humor that we know of, and he's just deadpan and straight faced.
Yep.
And she's like, okay, well, you can come in. Would you like some lemonade? And he just like, oh, yes, please. And he just like smiles.
Yes.
Like that little nuance. I'm like, god damn it. That is fucking good. Rewind, watch it again. Would you like some lemonade? Oh, yes, please. Just, I fucking love it.
It's such a 180. It's so good.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, I'm like you. I'm like, that's a real actor. It's super simple,
uh-huh,
but that is a real actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Tommy Lee was super good in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the highlight. Going, I haven't watched this movie in quite a few years, but going back, watching it now, I was like, man, like Will Smith's movies from this time frame, like he is very one note. Like that's his gimmick. Like that's him in Independence Day. That's him in Bad Boys. That's him in
knowledgeable and smart and talented, but a ruffian, right?
But just his demeanor, like his.
His cocky demeanor.
Right. You know, like when he's like sitting there squashing the bugs. Oh, was that your auntie? You know, mm-hmm, like that was, you know, welcome to Earth from Independence Day a year ago.
Yeah.
Like I've seen this trick before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do love when he's like right in the, like at the end, he's like squashing all the cockroaches. The Edgar's like right in his face. He's like, don't start nothing. Won't be nothing.
Yeah.
And he gets right in his face. He's like, you best get out of my face for something bad happens to you. And mm-hmm, then you hear the little gunfire because Tommy Lee like had the bug eat him.
Tommy Lee got 8, bro.
He got 8.
He got 8 on purpose by a big ass motherfucking bug that was big enough to hold a grown ass man in his belly.
Uh-huh.
Full of goo.
Let's get out of my face for something bad happened to you. Ping. Too late.
Too late. And then shoots himself out of the alien.
Yeah.
Beautifully done.
Uh-huh.
Fucking beautifully done. I liked that.
That was a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good bit.
It was.
All in all, like from the jump, I mean, this is just like a solid movie. It's got a lot of good ideas. It's got a lot of cleverness to it.
Right.
And sadly, we live in a world now where if a Men in Black movie had never existed, we wouldn't get one now. Or it might be a series. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that, because I mean, look at, you know, and a lot of people say this, and like to varying degrees, it's true. But we don't get a lot of new original content.
No.
At the movie theater.
No.
You know,
I don't feel like.
Look, especially, I mean, this summer, look at everything that's come out. We have Jurassic World, which is, there are what, 6, 7 movies in the Jurassic
6
franchise. We got Top Gun, which is an old movie, like a reboot, redo of an old movie, a legacy sequel.
Elvis is new, but it is a story we're familiar with.
Correct.
You know.
Doctor Strange came out before that, right, and Spider-Man before that. So it's like all these movies that have come out in 2022 mm-hmm, are, you know, existing properties. Like The Black Phone, I hear, is really good. That's a rare
one we wanted to see.
Original. We got to get to seeing that. But yeah, I don't think they would spend the money on a movie like Men in Black for the theaters.
No.
Which mm-hmm is kind of sad.
Not a funky idea like that.
Nah.
No. Maybe Martin Scorsese is correct and Marvel has ruined everything.
No. No.
I said that that just to see what you were going to say. Please don't judge me on that. No. It was a total joke.
Nah.
Now you're not even looking at me.
No.
You're just looking up into the sky. He's looking up into the sky, into the stars, and like, no. No, you dumb bitch.
I'm like, don't get it twisted, Marty. You've made some good movies.
You made some good shit, but maybe shut up.
Yeah. Irishman notwithstanding. That movie was fucking boring.
It wasn't bad, but it was unnecessarily long.
Also, let's talk about this, Marty. You put the same five actors in your movie. Like, you can't get a young Robert De Niro, so you just de-age the old one? Get the fuck out of here.
Okay. Let's talk about this other movie while we talk about the movie we came in here to talk about.
Okay.
Look, it made me laugh because we have de-aged Robert De Niro, which I'm fine with. But then when he fought, he moved like an old man.
Yeah.
You can't de-age that.
Nah.
You can't. He's supposed to be some ruthless motherfucker, and here he is, like, just the way, like, the back view of him and his pants. I'm like, that screams old man.
Yeah.
It's just old.
Yeah.
It's just rickety joints.
Yeah. They don't last forever.
Which, again,
forever.
There's nothing wrong with that, because if you're old and rickety, you're just old and rickety, but that's coming across on the screen. I was like, this does not.
Mm-hmm.
Could we have gotten a stunt double?
You can juice that up with some CGI. The Marvel movies know all about that.
Like, I understand, right? I understand you want to be authentic, but this is a little, this is.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Marty. So, yeah, I didn't appreciate that, but I did giggle at it.
That's fair.
You know.
That's fair.
You know. But no, I really liked this movie. So it still held up. It still held up for you after all these years.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I like this movie a lot.
Because it's just good and fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It is. There's no deeper meaning to it, unless you want to take away the deeper meaning at the end with, like, the marbles and we're just.
Did that not rock your world?
I mean, I kind of buy into that shit anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, I've thought that way for a long time.
I think it's easy for me to buy into that. And I'm like, there's no point. Like, there's a lot of times where we're like, there's no point to this, is there?
No.
And then to see that little hand grabbing that fucking galaxy marble and just putting it into a bag of marbles, I was like, oh my God, that's just more evidence that what are we doing?
We are so insignificant.
Here we are fighting about bullshit, and we're just a marble.
But then we got Facebook, and we think we're all important.
I hate Facebook right now.
Yeah.
I hate any social media right now. I am so done.
Except for HSV Home Video on Facebook,
that's
Instagram,
right.
And
TikTok. We are on the social medias. You should keep all of them for us.
Yeah. If you need a break from all the fucking bullshit that's going on in your life, make sure to follow us on those social media platforms.
If you want to hear about rape in a funny way, listen to us. We'll kind of talk about other rape going on right now. We only talk about the funny rape.
I don't know the exact episode where it happened, but at a certain point, I personally made a conscious decision that I did not tell you about.
Oh no!
I'm like, you know, I'm gonna pump the brake on the rape jokes. I feel like I'm going to that well way too many times, and you have instigated every rape joke for at least 65 episodes, and I gotta tell you. I'm super proud of you.
Oh, thank God. I'm like, oh, no. I'm about to get scolded by Jack Spade.
Nah.
I need to revamp.
No.
We're good?
No.
We're fine.
See,
on the...
I revamped. I looked inward. And then you made a conscious... You know, Jack hasn't made a rape joke in a couple episodes. I'm going to pick this ball up for him.
There are times where I've gone home and I'm like, what happened to the rape? Where'd the rape go?
I mean, this used to be the most fun rapey podcast on the internet. Fucking co-host is a fucking cuck and can't hold his own weight. Fuck it, I'll pick it up.
I'll pick up the rape burden.
The rape burden. Wow.
I'll carry that.
Happy 4th of July, America. And to our friends in Australia, whatever it is you celebrate today.
Yeah.
Probably
did you celebrate anything today? Did you win anything today?
I mean, they're probably celebrating the eventual downfall of America.
They stopped listening after I started ranting about a cricket in my home, because they have real bugs that you got to really worry about.
Yeah.
Their shit over there is much worse.
Oh, yeah. You started ranting about crickets and they're like, ah, fuck off.
I'm sorry, they said what?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off. Yeah, you fucking crikey. Fucking bullshit cricket.
It's fucking Yankees and their crickets.
Oh, I got a bit of something to show you over here. Fucking too right.
Look at this spider that eats birds.
That's not a cricket. That's a cricket.
Yeah. Us wimpy Americans are our problems. Oh, God.
So 2 4th of Julys in a row, Will Smith delivers the goods.
He does. We need to make this a theme now. Okay. We need to do all Will Smith movies every 4th of July.
Okay.
Keep a note. Do we have enough?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, not necessarily movies that came out on the 4th, because I think Wild Wild West came out on the 4th of July, too. Because, again, for a while, Will Smith was the king of 4th of July. Like, that's what they billed him as for a while.
Doesn't that even make you more angry at Jada Pinkett?
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She's toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm going to put this out for the world to hear. Mm. No bitch is worth it.
No. As my father used to say, there's pussy everywhere, man. There's another one just waiting.
Please tell me he told that to you.
Leanne, I think he said that to somebody.
Leanne, what are you all fucking bent out of shape for? There's pussy everywhere.
Pussy everywhere.
I mean, I'm assuming. I'm like, is that what you're going for? Because you didn't pick up the dicks and Men in Black. Everything looked like a dildo.
Maybe you're not focused on it.
So I just assume you're looking for pussy everywhere. You wanted to get with the morgue chick.
You don't have it in your life because you're not looking for it, Leanne.
Jesus. Yeah, there's pussy everywhere.
I think he said that to my cousin who was debating on getting a divorce.
Oh, yeah? I mean, that's sound advice.
She was crazy as fuck. That's sound advice. Go find another one.
Best way to get over someone is to get under someone.
Exactly.
Put the fiddle in the middle.
You know, the fiddle in the middle. I want to forget that so bad.
Oh, like, fuck. You shouldn't have told me that.
Don't bring that up. Don't bring it up.
I'm bringing that back, baby.
No.
I'm putting it into the lexicon.
I'll tone down the rape. You need to tone down the fiddle in the middle and the cats with the silver spoon.
Oh, yeah. Put the fiddle in the middle. Say, like, Billy Bob and Sling Blake, I reckon you put the fiddle in the middle.
I hate it. I hate when people imitate Sling Blade. I can't stand it. I can watch the movie, but when other people do it, it is the cringiest thing to me, and, like, I feel violated. I don't know what that is. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like when people do it.
Okay.
So now you're going to do it every episode, are you not?
No. I respect you.
You want to.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but out of respect, I won't.
Thank you.
I'm an ally.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. It bothers me. But if I watch the movie, it doesn't bother me.
Interesting.
I know.
That's weird.
Well, we all knew I was.
What about, because to me, when people do Borat impersonations, that I hate. Like, I love them in the movie, but for the couple years after that flick came out, any bar you were at,
I bet it was very rough.
It was so bad.
There are times, though, and I get so mad at myself because there are random times where I'm like, that's nice. And I'm like, fuck you, you bitch.
But you haven't made it a whole part of your personality.
No, there were people who made that a part of their personality, and they thought they were the only one.
And I feel a small number of them came back when the sequel came out. And I also,
there was a sequel to that one.
Which was super funny.
Was it good? I didn't watch that one.
It was good.
I watched the abomination called Bruno. Remember Bruno?
Oh, yeah, that one wasn't that great.
That was terrible. Yeah.
Also, another piece of pop culture that has come back that is very impersonatable is Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe. Super funny. But also, can't stand when people do Beavis and Butthead voices.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I can't stand the Sling Blade, because so many people did it.
That's
and
fair.
So maybe that's what it is.
That's fair.
But the laugh on Beavis and Butthead, that is cringy. I don't like to hear that at all. I never understood Beavis and Butthead, and I feel like people think I should, but I never got into it, and they creep me out. They creep me out.
See, when Beavis and Butthead came out, I was the perfect age for that.
Right.
I
understand completely. I'm like, it, obviously I wasn't of the right age, and I feel like it's hard. Maybe it's one of those things that's hard to go back to.
So I when Beavis and Butthead came out originally, and I was still in high school, it was funny as fuck because that should be funny as fuck to a high schooler.
Right.
And then I remember probably 5 years later when DVD started becoming a thing, they put them all out on DVD. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking great. I love Beavis and Butthead. And then I watched it and I was like, I'm like, oh, apparently I've grown up a little bit and I don't fucking find this as funny. But then the movie came out and I watched that over the weekend and I laughed hysterically, and apparently I have regressed as I've got older and I'm just dumb as fuck again. And I'm like, nope, what's old is new again, baby. This is the funniest fucking shit I've ever seen.
I love that. Doesn't that feel good?
Sure does.
I feel like that feels good.
Yeah.
I always dreaded the day, because my big one is South Park, and I always dread the day where I'm like, South Park won't be funny to me. And
yeah,
it's never not been funny to me. So I'm like, oh, thank God, I'm still an idiot.
Yeah, that's fair.
Still nostalgic and idiotic.
That is legit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's, okay, so next 4th of July, we'll get another Will Smith movie in there.
That's the pattern now.
All right, okay.
That's how we roll.
I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
As you celebrate this 4th of July, make sure do you remember Bill Pullman's speech from Independence Day? How fucking great that was?
I remember how great it was, and I remember how it made me feel, but I don't remember all the words.
That's okay, because on 4th of July, on Independence Day, after you listen to this podcast, just go YouTube that.
Yes.
I do. Every fucking 4th of July.
I feel like I will now.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll think of it over the 4th. Mm-hmm. Well, today is the 4th of July, if you're listening when it comes out. But yes, We're not recording it on the 4th of July.
We're currently recording.
It's magic. So yes, my timeline is off.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know where I am.
I'm in Joe's apartment with cockroaches that talk.
Jack Sprite.
Give Men in Black some stars, will ya?
I am going to give it a 4 because I really enjoyed it.
I will go 4 noisy crickets out of 5. See that noisy cricket getting wicked on you.
Love that noisy cricket. I fucking love him just pow, pow. And it's several times too. Yeah. He does not learn.
No. I will say that Will Smith does, he is a very great reactionary actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does have great reactions to the, like, yeah, when Tommy Lee Jones blows up the cockroach from the inside and they're both covered in goo and Will is just sitting there, he's like,
that, like, goes on for forever.
Yeah, too long, but like enough that, so like, funny, he can pull it off, and I'm like,
right,
that's funny.
Another thing, speaking of that kind of thing, I really loved, and again, it's not the most amazing scene, but it really got me, was when they bring Will Smith and the other guys in to test to become,
yeah,
Tommy Lee Jones's partner. And so they're all there, and that shot where they're all sitting in like these pod type chairs and they've got like a packet, and then Will Smith has to open up the packet. He breaks the pencil trying to open up the sealed packet. Then we get into, and just shit like this murders me, when the shot is so long of them trying to arrange themselves in this chair to be able to write on the packet, the,
uh-huh,
paper. And that goes on for what seems like an hour, and it is funnier as every second goes. Like, I love them all just trying to move to get this piece of paper going, and him breaking the pencil and him trying to get it all together and like hide his answer. It was so funny to me.
And then he ultimately gets up and goes and pulls a table over
and
just screeches. And then everyone's just looking at him. He's like, y'all want to get down,
you know,
on this? Which, funny note, that scene has changed my life. The way that if I react to things, like if I've ever gone on a job interview, because there are places that will test you like the way they were being tested,
right,
in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very famous business school that teaches this. Like, if you go into a room and it's a group interview,
mm-hmm,
they set up chairs and a couch. And if you go on, if you sit in the middle of the couch, chances are you're getting the job. Because the way that they line it up is, you know, everyone comes into the room and, you know, let's say someone comes in and sits by themselves on a chair And then another person comes in and they sit by themselves on the other chair.
Right.
And then the next person comes in, like, let's say they take a seat on the couch. If one more person comes in and is like, hey, can I sit next to you right on this couch? That's the person they're going to hire, because that's a person that's not afraid to, like, go talk to people and, like, stuff
sense.
Like that. So if ever I walk into a room and there's anything that's uncomfortable, or, you know, like, oh, I could write easier if this table was over here, I'll pull a fucking table over.
Right.
I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith taught me that.
That's what they're looking for. That's what Tommy Lee Jones is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that how long they took with that for that movie just murdered me every second. It was so good.
I also my favorite little interaction in that scene is when they are doing target practice.
Yes.
And everyone's shooting at these aliens, and then Will puts one between the eyes of, like, this little 8-year-old girl.
Blonde girl.
Rip Torn comes in. Can you tell me why little Tina deserved to die?
And he was like, you're telling me this little girl, he saw every detail in this simulation, right? And he's talking about how, what is this blonde little 8-year-old girl doing in the hood at night? She is up to no good, and that's the reason why he shot her.
I see
and he's so convincing.
I see this big snarling alien, and then I see a tissue in his hand, and I realize he ain't snarling,
right.
He's sneezing.
And he goes through every alien and how normal they are, but that little girl in the hood was not.
Uh-huh.
So good.
Yeah. Like I said, just a great reactionary actor.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about a movie next week. It's going to like I mentioned earlier, it's going to introduce you. It's not my chosen introductory point to this director. The director's name is John Woo.
I know I've heard that name.
I know
Haven't
you've
I?
Heard that name. I've talked about that name before.
Right?
If we weren't doing blockbusters, Hollywood blockbusters, I would have probably shown you Hard Boiled, which is an amazing fucking action movie. Fucking love it. But instead, we're going to talk about a movie that actually came out 1 month before Men in Black.
Mm.
It has a known commodity that you know and love in Nicolas Cage. I don't know how you feel about the other commodity, John Travolta.
Oh, my God.
But next week.
Oh, my God.
We are going to have ourselves a fucking face-off.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. Never seen it. Always wanted to see it. I feel like I'm going to love it no matter what the fuck happens in this movie.
We're going summer blockbuster in action, baby!
Yeah, so that is considered a summer blockbuster?
It came out June 19th.
I remember it being big.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it was that big.
It came out June 19th, 1997. Yeah.
I was 6. I was not yet 7.
I had just graduated high school.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm so, like, did we, I really want to see this movie.
I know.
I really did.
I wanted.
I love this.
There was a time when John Woo kind of came over. He did a lot of big American movies. So he directed Mission Impossible 2.
Okay.
In fact, here's a fun little bit of trivia for you that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Tell it to
me. Other than John Woo. John Woo is kind of directly responsible for Hugh Jackman being Wolverine.
Oh.
Because an actor by the name of Doug Ray Scott was in Mission Impossible 2. And Bryan Singer, the director of the X-Men, wanted Doug Ray Scott to play Wolverine. But Mission Impossible 2 was undergoing some reshoots, and Doug Ray Scott couldn't commit to being Wolverine. So because of that delay in filming, he had to go find another choice, that being Hugh Jackman, probably one of the most, definitely the most iconic role of his career.
Right.
But even though, have you ever seen any of the X-Men movies?
No.
But you still know Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
I do, because I remember that being big when I was a kid,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, for fucking 15, 20 years, he made that shit big.
I remember, like, him as Wolverine and, like, I think Halle Berry was one.
Yeah, she was Storm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really all I remember.
Also,
Patrick Stewart's in there.
Yeah. Also, Mission Impossible 2. Not the best of the Mission Impossible.
Is that where we get the Metallica song?
Yeah.
From that one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's also where we got the Limp Bizkit song, though.
Which one's in?
Take a look around.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember the video now.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. But we ain't talking fucking about any of that shit next week.
Fucking Limp. We got to go see Limp Bizkit. Have you, you've never seen Limp Bizkit?
No,
right?
I have.
Have you? Okay, you have.
Yeah.
You have.
Remember I told you about how DJ
That's
Lethal
right,
came out of a fucking Transformer?
Yes, he was in the Transformer.
Yeah.
That's right. I have another. I have one other friend, and that was the other friend.
Okay.
Aww. Aww. No, I'm just kidding. This magnetic personality, please. I got friends crawling all over me, motherfuckers.
You know, as I'm thinking about it, like the other movies that I have in my brain for Blockbuster Month, I'm going to have to check the dates. I think all of them might have come out of the summer in 97.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, look, if 97's a good year, it's just a good year.
I mean, it was a formative year for me, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I much like my memories going to Men in Black in the theater, I can tell you exactly who I was with. When I went
That's
to go
fantastic.
See Face Off, I can tell you what I did that day.
Uh-huh.
I like just all of it.
That's fantastic.
I know what snacks I had at the movie theater, as depressing as that is.
No, that's precious. You soaked it in. See, I don't remember shit like that.
No?
Like for a lot of things. Well, like for movies and things. But then there are other things that I could tell you like that, but not.
That to me is what I assume people who like baseball experience. Like, oh, I went to the park with my dad and got a hot dog. And I remember what hat he was wearing, this and that. And I was like, that's cool. I remember when my family went on a little trip down to Minneapolis. To go to the Mall of America, and I was bored with it, and I'm like, Dad, I want to go see Die Hard 2. And I was like 12. All right, let's go to Die Hard 2. Right. So we found a movie theater in Minneapolis playing Die Hard 2.
Did your mom find a casino?
Probably. That's probably why my dad took me to Die Hard 2.
We're going to get to this before she spends it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. I better buy my kid this movie ticket before my bitch wife fucking loses all the money and I can't take my kid to Die Hard 2.
Why do we keep bringing up this terrible moment in history? I'm so sorry, and I fueled it. I let it go. I'm so bad.
Next trip to Minneapolis, I'm like, Dad, I want to go see Total Recall.
What?
And then me being like young and impressionable, I remember this part in the movie theater. Oh, no. I was like, Dad, do girls really have three tits? Not that I've seen, son.
Not that I've seen, son. That's so good. It's so informative and full of disappointment all at the same time.
Actually, my dad says girls don't have three tits.
That's wrong.
Yeah, that's incorrect.
You're that Leo DiCaprio mean. That's wrong. No three-titted bitches I've ever known.
No. I am legit excited.
Oh my God, I am too. I cannot
for Face
wait
Off.
For Face Off. Again, that is a movie. I remember it being huge. I remember it being big. I guess I just didn't. I never thought to put it in a blockbuster category.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember it being the big thing, and it follows you your whole life almost, right? Like everybody knows Face Off. And I grew up with it in pop culture, but I've never seen it. And so it's one of those movies where I'm like, holy shit, I've got to see it.
So you know how when I talk about Nicolas Cage movies on this podcast, like when we talked about The Color Out of Space during Hell Comes to Huntsville, we talked about Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah.
The one thing that I want, do you remember what I wanted from Nick Cage?
You want him to go full Nick Cage.
This is full.
This is
unbridled fun. This is what I expect when I say things like that. I think of fucking Face Off.
Okay. See, I didn't have a gauge for that.
Now you will.
I just kind of, when you say full Nick Cage, I think I more or less think of some of the odd stories I've read about him.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I didn't realize that's where you're at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I understand. That's kind of the bar.
Gotcha.
For unhinged Nick Cage. When I want wackadoo fucking Nick Cage, I want Face Off Nick Cage.
Okay. Now I Oh my gosh, now I'm going to understand.
Man, and I really hope that you, and there are things that I'll have to explain that are kind of calling cards from John Woo.
Okay.
My hope is that A, you like the movie, and B, like, I want to see more stuff from this dude.
Because
he's done some fucking bangers.
Okay.
He's also done a few shitty ones. Like, a lot of his American stuff isn't that good, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Is there other things I would have heard of?
He did a movie called Broken Arrow with John Travolta and Christian Slater.
Heard of it.
He did that. He did a movie called, I think it's Payback with Ben Affleck and Uma Thurman. That one wasn't really good.
Okay.
Mission Impossible 2, of course.
Right.
So.
Okay.
His two OG flicks that I love are The Killer and Hard Boiled, both with Chow Yun-Fat.
Okay.
And those... Oh,
we'll get there.
We'll get there. Mm-hmm. That's when we'll get a bit more educational in our podcast. We'll get more film nerd. We'll get cinephile on you.
Don't worry. I'm going to keep it stupid for everybody. I'm going to keep it real dumb.
I'm going to keep it real dumb. Mm-hmm. No, like, so here's a perfect example of John Woo. So I got a buddy who's a huge John Woo fan, and he actually went to film school. And I asked him about, because I wanted to do that at one point. I'm like, I fucking want to go to film school. I want to make movies and do this and that and the other. And he's like, man, let me tell you, a bunch of pretentious fucking just dumbasses. Like, he told me about their final project was they had to make a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I swear to God, and like, we all have to watch them as a class. And I swear to God, dude, I had no idea there were so many depressed, drug-using, fucking suicidal film students. That's what every fucking movie was about. Oh, this one, here's a movie about someone being on drugs. Here's a movie about someone killing themselves. Here's a movie about someone killing themselves because they were on drugs.
Well, Jack, they're here to shine a light on society's darkest moments. It's the only way we change the world.
My buddy made a movie where he got caught checking out a girl's ass, and then she put the John Woo beatdown on him.
Yes!
He's like, this shot was from fucking Hard Boiled, like the end scene in the hospital. Like, that's where I got this from. This was like, if I could only get some fucking doves, I want to get some fucking doves. But I still, you know, like, I'm like, dude, did you end the movie with Thin? And he's like, no, but every other fucking pretentious cunt did.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, big John Woo fan. Okay. So we would talk John Woo flicks for fucking days.
Mm.
So this is going to be your entry point to John Woo.
Okay.
We'll see what you think.
All right.
See what you think of your unhinged Nick Cage.
I'm so ready for this.
What is your stance on John Travolta? I don't even know.
I like John Travolta.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I've never not liked him.
Then we're rolling, baby.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming back next week.
Yeah.
Fucking dual pistolas waving. That's a John Woo staple. We're not going to shoot one gun when we can have dos pistols.
Pistolas.
Dueling pistolas. Guns akimbo.
How many times? I feel like the most recent I remember was the Cusack movie, the Gross Point. Like, I love a double, double gun action.
You're
going
to get so much of that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm really so excited about this because it's been on the list for forever. It's just one of those movies where I'm like, Jesus Christ, I have to see that.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let's do it next week. We'll be back to talk about Face Off. In the meantime, if you haven't completely aborted all of your social media accounts, see what I did there. You should follow.
And when you said it, I thought, does he know what he did? And then I saw the light little twinkle in your eye, and I'm not even joking. I saw the twinkle in Jack Spade's eye as I looked across into them. And I went, yeah, that fucker knows what he did.
Yeah. He chose his words carefully on that one.
He had that one in the chamber this whole time.
Yeah, crafty son of a bitch.
He let me get the rape out of the way, and he was like, I'm going to come in with the ringer. Abort. I did. I saw a freaking twinkle in your eye like a young child. Ding. Like, ding.
I mean, yeah. I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I love it. It's my fave.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
At HSV Home Video.
And also a huge shout out to our sponsor, Underboss Photography. Follow Michael at Underboss_Photography. He has upped his game. Like, every week he puts out new content. He put out a killer picture of some new beers that are coming out from one of the local breweries here in Huntsville.
He did a fantastic fucking ad.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't know what that is, but I want to drink it.
That's what I'm saying.
I was like, I want to get lit on that shit.
Yup. I'm not even a huge beer guy. I like liquors more. Mm-hmm. But I looked at that. I was like, I want three of those.
There's fruit. I'm like, fuck yeah, beer and fruit. Beer I've never paired that together, but let's go.
Fucking line it up. I'm going to get my wife wasted on him, and I'm going to put a fill in the middle.
No.
Again, under Fox.
No, you're supposed to have consent.
Three of those mango brews is consent. What the fuck are you talking about?
There is no yo, no, only yes.
Again, underboss underscore photography. Check out those fucking beers. See if you want one. And then if you choose to come visit scenic, sunny, beautiful Huntsville, Alabama, you can have one for yourself. Maybe hang out with your two favorite chuckleheads on this podcast.
That's us.
We'll show you the sights.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I'll stumble with you anywhere.
And until next week, my friends, happy 4th of July for one, and be kind and rewind. Fiddle in the middle.